could talk about games. Play my Ryan and Mike.
I'm modern, I'm retro. Video game show.
Yes, we talk about games and some sounds of the stuff.
Like Star Trek, it's a blast. Our gaming podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Talk About Games. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Mike. Today we're going to be talking about Axelay. And what is your game?
My game is RoboCop 2.
RoboCop 2. When was the last time you watched the RoboCop 2 movie?
Last night. Actually.
You watched it for this?
Yeah, dude, I totally did.
Do you like it?
I did. You know what's funny about RoboCop 2, the movie, is that they don't make movies like that anymore. It's like very extreme.
It's like crazy over the top. I feel like things play things very safe these days, and that it does not play things safe.
It doesn't play safe. It's like Detroit is the worst place on earth. It doesn't pretend. The opening scene, you know, a guy robs, you know, they rob the gun shop.
Oh, it's not New York City. It's Detroit.
It's Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, gun shop gets robbed. A guy it goes over an old lady and is like, "Are you okay?" And then he robs her. And then the hookers rob him.
Yeah.
And then they get robbed again. And it just shows this like cycle.
It's a depiction of like a horrible place.
Horrible place. And the place is horrible because OCP, Omni Consumer Products, has taken over the police.
Okay.
And the police are on strike because the police can't get paid. Because the city of Detroit has to pay all their money to Omni Consumer Products.
And I assume that's the bad guys.
You know what? There's actually two bad guys. Because there's also a fictional drug on the market. And the fictional drug on the market is called Nuke.
It's interesting that there's a fictional drug, but not a fictional town. Like in a lot of movies, they would just make up a fake town. But it's just Detroit.
It's just Detroit, right? And there's Detroit landmarks, and they call it the Motor City. And it's just... it's Detroit.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's RoboCop is like this extreme cop. And I have to tell you, this game is surprising. So the game I played, you know, there's a lot of RoboCop games, but the game I played was RoboCop 2,
okay,
which is the Data East arcade game.
Okay.
And it's really interesting because the original Data East RoboCop game was just a side-scroller.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're in 1991 now. And in 1991, there were beat-em-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of Capcom beat-em-ups.
A lot of Konami beat-em-ups.
Right.
And I guess Data East felt like they would get in.
They need to get in that game.
Right? So it's a two-player game.
You know what ones are good? You ever played, like, the Alien and, like, Alien vs. Predator?
Yeah.
Side-scrolling beat-em-ups. Those are really cool.
Recently,
Bucky O'Hare was,
yeah,
was a good one.
Yeah, definitely.
There were so many back then.
One of the things I learned about... Alien vs. Predator recently from, I don't know who told me, but someone told me that there's actually like Hadouken motions and things, like you can do like Street Fighter style moves.
Yeah, in that, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it a little more interesting.
I thought that was crazy. So this game is much like a game that we did on the show recently, Double Dragon 2, in that I'm going to call it the A button, but the first action button shoots left.
Okay.
And the second action button shoots right.
So it's like alternate sides.
And then you have a jump, just like the punch and kick in Double Dragon 2, which is pretty weird. But again, it does follow the movie, but a good way to think about it is
instead of just you have like one button that always fires and then you can turn left and right with the stick.
Yeah.
Which is how you would imagine it would be.
Right, but you can like strafe backwards, and that's really important because what does everybody know about RoboCop? RoboCop moves slow.
Right.
Right? So the game is very much a game of positioning because, you know, you're not going to be able to, like, dodge things. You know, you're not Chun-Li, you're RoboCop.
Yeah, right.
Right? So a lot of the game is positioning. A lot of the game has a lot of those beat-em-up things. Like, for instance, when you get close to the enemies, you do a throw.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know...
That's like your melee, kind of?
It is. And, you know, RoboCop's pistol, the Auto 9... in it, you'd think that's an awesome gun, right? He's shooting everybody in the movie, all of that.
Right.
Kind of sucks in this game. So doing the throw, when you get to later, like when you're in like the Omni Robot Factory and you're throwing things, you want to do the throw.
Okay.
Right? And then there's like...
Can you kill guys quicker with the throw than
you just,
shooting
them? Yeah, like there's like parts later where these like robots come and they all drop these landmines and you basically like... walk up, throw, walk up, throw, walk up, throw. That's like
instead of shooting them,
what you want to do.
Okay.
Although the shooting's really fun, and I wish it was more like one hit kill things came at you.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be crazy if you like things came in from the right or things came on the left, and you're like pop, 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 taking them out.
Yeah.
But you don't get to do a lot of that.
Do you find that maybe because RoboCop is so slow that sometimes you wish maybe he was faster? I mean, he's supposed to be slow, but
he's supposed to be slow, and I think like slow and methodical. I could definitely say in the first RoboCop, I felt like more of a badass.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you also try the first game?
I've played it before.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, like, you know, when I played RoboCop, I'm like, oh, I want RoboCop. What do I play? I play the first one.
Yeah.
And people are into that because that's like a platformer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shooter. It's like bad Contra,
the,
you know?
The RoboCop game I've gotten most into is, I don't really like the NES games that much, but the RoboCop versus Terminator game on
Super Nintendo or Genesis.
The Sega Genesis one I played more so than the Super Nintendo one, but that game is really fucking cool too, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's funny, the first boss in this game is like a chainsaw guy, like zips around.
Is he in the movie?
No. But I do want to mention something about the movie. There's a scene where RoboCop gets captured.
Okay.
And in the game, a magnet comes and gets you, and you have to like mash buttons to get the magnet off of you.
Is that in the movie?
But in the movie, Kane and his nuke cult, the people doing the drugs, actually capture you with a magnet.
Yeah.
And then drop you and chain RoboCop to a table. And they're trying to like break him. So they get all these power tools. And that scene, to me, was just as terrifying as the scene in the original RoboCop where he's getting shot up.
So I haven't seen the RoboCop 2 in a long time. Is it that Kane is like a real dude, and then by the end, isn't he like in the machine or something?
So you know where I was talking about Omni consumer products, and about throughout the movie, there are all these ads. Okay, and I'll get to what happens to Kane because of them. Like the first one is that they're like these over the top ads. Like the first ad is the Magnavolt Lethal Response Electric Car Protection.
Okay.
So imagine if somebody tried to steal your car, they sit down and they get like the electric chair.
Wow.
For sitting,
that's a little extreme.
And they're like fried. And the like spokesman comes out and he's like, this is the Magnavolt Electronic Car Protection.
In our day, we just had the club.
Yeah.
Remember the club.
It's the same commercial, but the dude who tries to steal it, he like throws him out of the driver's seat and drives away.
Okay.
And just lays him on the road. Anyway, so you get ads like that. But then towards the middle, you get the ads for RoboCop 2.
Uh-huh.
And they show these like prototypes, and it's like Omni consumer products prototype, and the one like rips its own head off and shoots itself in the head. Like they're like going haywire.
Yeah,
but that's what I mean when this movie's like extreme.
Yeah,
right.
Like they probably wouldn't do something like that.
So then it cuts to Omni where like the scientists are, and the scientists are
like Oscorp.
Right, almost exactly.
Right.
So the scientists are like, oh, well, we've been trying to do police officers like Murphy. You know, Murphy became RoboCop.
Yes, yeah.
So they're like, we've been trying to get police officers, but it's not working.
You know what always disturbed me about the RoboCop movies? Like when sometimes he'll take like the head off and he's kind of got that like that shit on his head. I never liked when he takes the mask off. I'm like, it's so gross to look at. But I guess that's the thing with those movies is they were trying to make him kind of like gritty and a little gross,
right?
You know, disturbing.
But like now they're like gritty but also like pulpy and over the top. It's like,
yeah,
like now this movie would be made so dark and so horrifying it wouldn't have the same effect.
Right because it's a little cheesy back then, so it's like you can deal with it.
Yeah And I think like they kind of sanitized the new RoboCop movie.
Was it like 90-91 did RoboCop 2?
So I didn't look up when the movie came out,
okay.
But in the intro of this, it says 1991 Data East based on 1990 RoboCop.
You know what I find? I was in the store the other day, and you know, there's all these mini consoles now and all that stuff, and I saw a little mini type of console, and it was a collection of Data East stuff,
right?
Only, but I didn't see like RoboCop 2 on
it's
there.
It's all licensed.
And I was just going to say, like, a lot of times when these compilations come to like Nintendo Switch or PlayStation 4, it'll be like the whatever, the Capcom collection and this and that, but they always like leave out like those games that,
right,
because they can't get those like licenses. But a lot of times these games are awesome and it's like too bad, you
yeah
know?
Well, you know, we have two good collections coming up. One of them is licensed and one of them's not. So, you know, we talked about the Ninja Turtles Cowabunga,
the Ninja Turtle
collection,
one, right,
and that's gonna be all the licensed ones,
right?
So they made it happen,
right?
But a collection,
but like how will that ever happen for RoboCop, you know?
Well, probably not.
Never,
but
yeah,
the next collection that I'm really excited about is the Capcom Fighters collection. Because, you know, we've had so many Street Fighter collections, but this game was just, this was just announced for pre-order, and this isn't like sponsored or anything. I saw this. 10 Capcom Fighters, and the only mainline Street Fighter game is just the Hyper Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Okay.
Anniversary. The rest are, there's like 5 Darkstalker Vampire Savior games.
When I played Street Fighter, it was just the first one on Super Nintendo. It's like really slow.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until way later that I played Turbo. And then Hyper Turbo is even faster than Turbo, right?
Hyper Fighting. It's Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Hyper Fighting. That's the first one that's fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay, I'll go through this and then we'll get back to that.
Yeah,
and then I'll get back to how Kane becomes a robot. So there's Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one I played.
So that's Street Fighter 2, The World Warrior.
That one. Yeah. That's
okay.
The one I know.
So that's the one that has like the like purple and yellow arcade cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Which Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition,
I played a little of that too.
Yeah. Is in a lot of cabinets. But that's the one that has like the black and white like marble color on it.
Yeah.
And has like the circular logo.
Right.
Then there
What's
is
the one you have? You have the big blue.
So my big blue, well, let's go into that. My big blue, the art on it is Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys. So Ryan has this big blue cabinet, and it's one of the most fucking, that I think out of all the cabinets you have, because you have a lot, that one is like fucking pristine as shit. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's completely redone.
It's like fucking beautiful.
Yeah. And it's going to get messed up at too many games, right?
People are going to be coming with their drinks and spilling on it. It's like, oh, is this your beautiful cabinet?
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like,
right? And like the paint is really like,
yeah,
it's hard to, like, I have to like wrap it when I move it and stuff. But so there's Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition. But the board that's in that is Street Fighter 2 Turbo Hyper Fighting.
Okay.
Okay. Then
I don't think I've ever played that one.
That's so the Super Nintendo game Street Fighter 2 Turbo is based on
Is that. Okay.
Right? Then Super Street Fighter 2 The New Challengers came out.
Right.
Okay. Then
and in each one of these usually they were like adding characters, right?
So so the only character adds are in Champion Edition, you could play as the four bosses.
Yeah.
Sagat, Balrog.
I know them. Yeah. Of course.
Then, in the one I just mentioned, Super Street Fighter 2, The New Challengers, Fei Long, Cammy, DJ, and T-Hawk.
I remember that, too, actually.
Are playable.
Yeah. T-Hawk, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those are the three games that are on Super Nintendo. Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Okay.
And Super Street Fighter 2.
Okay.
Street Fighter Alpha is also on there, but that's a different series, okay? So don't put that in the comments. right? So then the last...
You know, what's? I can already tell there's going to be one thing you're going to forget to say, and then they're going to be like, he didn't even know that one thing! This is... We're talking about RoboCop 2, and I threw this at him. This is all off the top of his head.
Right, like, I don't have notes on this.
Yeah, right.
Right? So then, in the United States...
Yeah.
The last Street Fighter is called Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
And I like how you specified United States because they probably had different things going on in other
countries. Well,
let's
go on to that because I don't own Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Oh my God, I just had a thought.
I own...
Wait, I gotta get this thought out. So what about arcades in Europe? Are there arcade machines like...
Because you know all how different.
You know, it's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but like Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles. Is there an arcade machine that says Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles?
There is.
And there's like a marquee and shit?
Absolutely.
I've never seen that. I want to see that.
Also, you know Dance Dance Revolution?
Yeah.
It's dancing stage in Europe.
I did not know that.
Yeah, revolution, dirty word, right? Well, I don't want to talk about revolutions. They're like,
right. Okay.
Yeah, no. So I don't know why, but that's what I always tell myself.
And apparently ninja as well, which is weird.
So the last Street Fighter in Japan, Street Fighter 2 X Grandmaster Challenge.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
You have, because it was sitting over there in the other room.
Like, I mean, I haven't like played it.
Yeah, you have, but you didn't know what it was.
Oh, really?
You're just like, oh, it's Street Fighter, whatever.
Oh, okay.
Right? But that is the equivalent of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo here.
Okay.
But you know what's crazy about that? That has command normals in it. It has super moves in it. It has meter. It has Akumas in it.
Now, I'm not a fighting game guy. What's a command normal? I don't know what
so,
that is.
So, like, imagine you do a punch. You hit punch, right? Mm-hmm. That's a normal. Because it's not a special.
Okay.
That's a normal.
Sure.
So everybody's tuning out because they want to hear about RoboCop. But a command normal would be like, let's say I hit forward and punch.
Okay.
Because it had a command, but it was still a normal. Here's an example of a command normal. So people could say in the chat, hey, well, Dalsum had command normals way back in Street Fighter 2. You know Dalsum does the, like, where he, like, comes at you on a diagonal?
Yeah.
That's a command normal because you had to do an input. But it's not a special.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't do like chip damage and a bunch of other things.
I always play
as Chun-Li. Yeah.
Or Blanca.
So you do like the spinning bird kick and the lightning kick.
You know what I always used a lot was like her, I don't know what it's called, you probably know, but when her like foot was like straight down and you hit guys on the head, I found I would always do really well with that move.
That's a command normal.
Okay. So I do the moves, I just don't know that they're called.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's like, you know, fighting game terminology. You know what's funny? Like when you were reading Game Pro in 1990, whatever, they didn't call it that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't call it that.
Right.
So let's talk about
And back then, like, I didn't hear the word, like, platforming and grinding and farming and all that back then. Like,
right.
When I played Zelda 2 as a kid, I was grinding and farming and all that, but I didn't know it was called that. I'd just be like, I'm going to do this again and again so I get stronger.
Well, I'm going to repeat this action multiple times, right? But now we got like slang, right?
So RoboCop, sorry.
So RoboCop.
Yeah.
So we see these ads early on that show that OCP is trying to make more RoboCops.
Mm-hmm.
And they try it with cops. And it doesn't work.
Now, were they going to make another RoboCop that looked like RoboCop, or are they going to make him look different?
They're going to make him like beefier. Like you see like RoboCop. The ad for it, like Super RoboCop. Mm. It's RoboCop 2. So eventually, they keep killing cops and turning them into like these horrifying robots that commit suicide, which is awful.
Yeah.
Until they're like, oh, well, we're not going to do cops anymore. Let's do death row inmates.
Okay, and that's not going to go well.
Because they're like...
That's like the Frankenstein's monster.
Right.
And they accidentally put
the abnormal.
A criminal brain into... Yeah. Yeah.
So Kane gets apprehended by RoboCop, and they're like, oh, we're going to turn Kane into RoboCop too. So they're doing a presentation where they're going to show him, and that's the last level of the game.
And that's RoboCane.
Yeah.
Which is the end guy.
Which is the last guy of the video game and the last guy of the movie.
In the movie, yeah.
And he has all the same moves. The machine gun, the punch, everything he does.
I know he's got that like a little electrical thing. And
yeah.
In the movie, I remember it comes to RoboCop and he like grabs it.
Yeah.
You know? And then they like fall through like a floor
so
and
he,
off a building. And
he
like, it's crazy.
Burns. It's not like a taser. Because, you know, a taser would just get you.
Yeah.
It's a... Like
it's like some other thing.
It's a welding torch, and it welds. It like melts part of RoboCop's forehead off.
Oh my god!
It like tears across it.
In fucking movie. Crazy movies.
Yeah, dude. Like things are getting torn off.
Yeah.
RoboCop gets his hand blown off in it.
Wait, before we're gonna forget. What about the truck?
The truck. Okay. So at the end of the arcade stage, there's a motorcycle chase scene.
Is that like stage one or two or something?
It's stage two.
Stage two.
There's a motorcycle chase scene where it goes like, it's like a bonus stage. You can't really die. It's like you beat the stage and then you do like this like first person view like motorcycle chase.
Okay.
And you're shooting trucks that are coming across the screen and helicopters.
Oh, it's like Punisher or like Dick Tracy or something like that, where
you're like moving the crosshair around.
The first person.
And it sucks because you really would want like a light gun.
Or like the Terminator.
Yeah.
Arcade
it would be way better if you had a light gun. Similarly, in stage 1 and 4, I think there's parts where you like walk and then it turns into like, you know, like level 2 of Contra.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like shooting that way.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like
you're running down the hall.
Yeah. You're not running down the hall, but you're like facing that way and shooting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it does that. But anyway, it does that scene for that bonus stage, and then you jump through the front window of it just like the movie.
That's like the movie, okay.
Yeah, it's exactly like it. The other thing I want to talk about from the movie is Duffy the cop.
Okay.
So Duffy is a crooked cop that's hooked on Nuke. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets apprehended by RoboCop and leads them to where the bad guys are. And the bad guys are in this arcade. And this arcade...
Yeah, I forgot about that part. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This arcade is full of Data East...
Games.
Like, every game
so what do they
is
got?
Data East. All right, so I wrote them down. So,
can't wait to hear this list.
So, the Data East arcades in the movie... are bad dudes is like right in the center.
Just to be clear, so RoboCop in the movie goes into an arcade and you see tons of arcade games from that era.
So right in the center, like the camera, like, you know, like product placement.
Yeah.
Like I was watching, I just saw Ambulance, you know, the movie that just came out, and they're like, boy, I need to protect my house with ADT security. And the freaking camera like stops.
Well, so many movies.
So many movies do that.
For sure.
You know, but it's like the camera in the scene like pans by the Data East logo.
Yeah.
And then
I feel like some of the Spider-Man movies are like really bad with that. Yeah. It's like big Sony in the back and whatever, you know.
It's like Bad Dudes. So Bad Dudes is in the middle.
Bad Dudes.
And right next to Bad Dudes is Sly Spy.
I don't know Sly Spy.
It's okay. It looks like a car, like Spy Hunter.
It's like that type of thing. Okay.
Right. And then there is Midnight Resistance.
That
is sitting there.
Yes, I played that. That's like a Contra type of game.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
But when RoboCop grabs Duffy, he slams him against like candy glass, like through the front of Karnov. And he's like holding his head and like it's like all like theatrical glass. Like, you know, he's like slamming his head in the Karnov. And like when he hits him, like he hits start on like the game starts. And it's just like Karnov's head like in the middle of the thing when he's slamming him. Also, there's tons of other games in the background there. But I think it's funny when you get to that level in the video game.
I wish. Remember when we did a video on Batman and Returns, the beat 'em up?
Yeah.
I wish Batman in Batman Returns, Batman would have went through an arcade in that the Christmas time with the snow, and he's like goes through and what was the fuck that game? Was that that's not Konami?
Batman the arcade game,
Batman Returns, like the Super Nintendo one, like the beat 'em up one.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who fucking did that.
I don't know who that is
because I'm trying to think what would the
you know what's funny? You know what's funny because like I can picture the label in my head. I can picture like the label for it, and the label doesn't really have like the company name. It's just like Batman Returns. It's like very like clean. So it doesn't have that.
Sorry, I took you off track.
The other thing is like, it's weird the things they took from the movie. There's like these robot enemies that drop landmines.
Yeah.
But then they also, there's another type of those that shoot this like electric taser rope at you.
Okay.
Like, and that rope's in the game, but it's not, in the movie, but it's not used by a robot.
And you can get other weapons, right?
Okay, yeah. So at the end of the movie, RoboCop gets this big-ass gun, and he's, like, stunning Kane.
Okay.
Because he's fighting him in this auditorium. You can get that gun in the game.
Okay.
And then you get this other chain gun.
Is it like Double Dragon, where you can only use it, like, a little bit? You don't get it for, like, a long time?
It's, like, 5 shots or something.
Yeah.
But they always... they do a good job of giving you, like, a fuck ton of enemies to shoot at.
Okay,
when you have it. So, like, you shoot it and you kill, like, 10 guys.
You get a group, at least.
It's, like, a group. So, like, they're meant to be used that way.
I see.
Yeah, so I just think, you know, the game has Ed 209 in it, but he's not in the movie.
He's in the first movie.
He's in the first movie. There's, like, a statue of him. But I guess they were like, oh, we need bosses.
Right.
Let's just put this in.
Well, there's a statue of him.
There's a statue of him in the movie.
Well, my game has Ed 209 in it, kind of.
Yeah.
So my game is Axelay for Super Nintendo. Now, you've heard of that and played it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's a shmup.
Right.
And it essentially, remember Life Force?
Yes.
On NES. So Life Force and...
Salamander.
There you go, Salamander. Certain shmups alternate between like horizontal and vertical.
Yeah.
So it's one like that where, so the first stage is like vertical, but unlike, like imagine also, let's say Super C on NES, how some of the stages are like, these vertically scrolling sort of stages. This is the only shmup like that where it alternates between horizontal and vertical, but on the vertical stages, the look of the game makes this game unique because a lot of people believe it to be like Mode 7 graphics, meaning like, Super Mario Kart or...
F-Zero, Pilot
F-Zero,
Wings.
F-Zero, Pilot Wings, all that kind of stuff.
ActRaiser.
When you look at it, it looks like Mode 7, but apparently it's not.
So let's go into that. So right now, if you want to try this at home, you can. Get an emulator that will give you debug information. Download Axelay, okay? Open it up. Go to stage one. Go to the debug menu where you can see the layer map. You'll see all the layers are not Mode 7. But you'll see the one layer.
It says somehow that if it's Mode 7 or not.
Yeah. So, but they're not Mode 7. They're just regular layers layered on top. But it uses a technique called direct memory access. So the idea of direct memory access is that there is... when it's writing the lines to the screen, there is a 2 points in time where it's not writing lines to the screen. There's the front porch and the back porch of the signal. So imagine a signal is right, gap, signal to go to the next line. Right, gap, signal to go to the next line.
Mm-hmm.
And in that point in time between when it's done writing the line and when it gets the signal to go to the next line, it's not writing anything, okay? So in that point in time, with direct memory access, code can be written to make changes to the state of memory outside of the normal control flow of the application, okay? So I'll give you an example that's really easy to understand. Because what's happening in Axelay is way more advanced.
Okay.
So you played Sonic 2.
I have.
Right. So Sonic 2 is,
I'm not a big Sonic guy, but I have beaten that game.
So there is a stage where it's like marble columns. I forget the name of the stage. And there's water.
Yeah, I don't like that stage.
Right?
Yeah.
And you got to get the bubbles.
You go underwater and get
the
bubbles.
You got to go underwater and get the bubbles.
It's real slow.
Right.
It's like the opposite of what you would want for Sonic because it's slow.
So you go underwater. And when you go underwater, everything's like bluer.
Yes. Sure.
Right?
Right, yeah.
So the artists that and the programmers that worked on Sonic 2 didn't make blue versions of the images.
With the sprites.
The sprites and the backgrounds.
It's almost like there's an overlay, like a vector.
There's like an overlay. It's like a different color, but it's not an overlay. What's happening is they know what line of the level you're on.
Okay.
And they're using this direct memory access technique to change the palette where the water line is.
Hmm.
So you know how in Axelay it looks like it's like curved?
Yes.
Like you're on like a sphere.
Yeah.
So what they do is... imagine you're looking at a sphere from above and there's like a gradient. So what they do is they use the direct memory access layer to blank rows on a gradient.
So that it looks like it's
so that it looks like it's curved.
I see.
But if you went into your debug, and I highly recommend you do if you care about what we're talking about, and you look at that layer, that top cloud layer, you'll notice that it has a stepped gradient. You know, like if you're in Photoshop and you use a feature where you use a gradient, but it does gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Like the gradient is...
It's like gradually getting lighter.
It's like a gradient to transparency.
Yeah.
And they're like gapped.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing inside
that.
That
makes sense.
So it looks like Mode 7 because it looks like the plane is being shifted.
So I noticed, because I played this game, I noticed there was a bunch of, because I was looking into that too, because when I streamed it, I thought it was Mode 7. And then a lot of people in the comments when I posted the video were like, oh, this isn't Mode 7. And then I was trying to understand what they meant, but I felt like you just explained it in a way I could understand. But there was a lot of videos that I've seen on YouTube where it's like a compilation of Mode 7 things, and they have Axelay in there, and it really, I guess, shouldn't be.
And I just want to be clear, I'm not the first person on YouTube ever to talk about what's actually going on with Axelay.
Oh, okay.
Right now, you could go on YouTube and find many videos by many people explaining the DMA techniques that this video has. But I thought it was so interesting that it was worth talking about.
So on my end of it, not knowing any of that, I like shmups. And I saw this game that it wasn't just, sometimes, you know, they can get to be very samey. Like you'll play a shmup and it's just like the same, you're in space, you're in the spaceship and you're just going through stages and there's like UFOs or whatever that you're fighting. And it's always the same. So when I play shmups, I try to find ones, they're more interesting if they're, it's kind of like with beat 'em ups. It's like you need a little bit of variation to keep it like interesting. Like you were just talking about a beat 'em up that does like a Hadouken thing. It's like,
Alien vs. Predator. Yeah.
So I need things to change up a lot to keep me like interested. Yeah. Probably why when I stream, I'm always like switching games because I like things to move and change. So this game alternates between horizontal and vertical, but I want to go through like the stages and talk about like some individual things. So on the first stage, like Ryan was talking about, it's the clouds, all that. You have, when the game first starts, you get surrounded in a circle by like little UFOs and you just like die because you don't know what to do. There's a special, you have three different weapons that you can use when you start, and you have to know how to use this one weapon that shoots out for like up like vertically in front of you. But then if you let go of the controller, if you let go of the button, it sort of like spreads down and then goes down to the bottom. And then if you hold it back down again, it goes back to the top. Like, you know, the radius of it goes back to the top. So you're gradually like releasing and, you know, unreleasing the button, releasing and pressing down the button so that this, you can get like this stream going. And I joked in my stream, that's like it's like a stream of piss. It's like you're standing there in front of the urinal. It's like, you're going. And that's kind of like what it's like. And the first time you play the game, you're just like, what the fuck is this? Because I haven't seen a weapon like that in any other shmup. So you got to get used to that weapon. But all the other weapons in the game are pretty like standard R-type shmup kind of weapons. You know, just missiles and things that you'd find in any other like game. So that's like the unique Axelay weapon, I would say.
Yeah.
The second stage, we talked about Ed 209. It's just, you know, standard side-scrolling stage. You go through, it's like a spaceship you go through, and I think there's like a Earth in the background or something like that. You get to the end, and it's an enemy that legitimately, it just looks like Ed 209, a little more like advanced, I guess. But basically, it walks back and forth, but you're in this horizontal, like shmup stage. And you either have to shoot the gun off the front of it, and it looks like, it's like Ed 209 has a gun like that, I think. And you shoot the gun off of it, and then you get above it, on top of it, and then you rain down bombs like into it until it dies. That's the second stage. The third stage is, it goes back to kind of what the first stage is like with it's a vertically scrolling thing where, you know, it's like sort of, you know, going away in the distance and all that. You go through that stage, it's just a bunch of shit to avoid. But when you get to the end of it, the boss of that stage is it's like a witch hat UFO looking like this pointed UFO thing that you have to kill, and just spins and it shoots out volleys of bullets. Pretty easy to kill. That's the third stage. The fourth stage is your underwater stage. This is where the game starts to get really hard. This is a horizontal stage. You go through it and there's all kinds of like, they're all aliens. It's almost like a Darius type of stage. You have like fish aliens like coming after you and shit.
Darius loves their fish.
That Darius is all about like a race of like fish aliens.
Yeah.
Like that's what it is. So you go through this and I'll talk about the boss, but before I get to that, this stage is really annoying because there's a part that well, for one thing, there's like these like spiny blob things that explode, and when they explode, they just create like a million like needles that come after you. And you have to know which weapon to use. This is very much a know which weapon to switch to at the right time kind of game.
I like that because it gives you something to think about. I think that having the switching weapons is better than having to do the power-up thing where, oh, I died, I lost my power-ups, now I'm screwed. I'd rather have like a toolkit.
That's something that's really cool about this is because, yeah, exactly. So how it works is if you get hit, if your ship gets hit, the Axlay is the ship, when it gets, or the guy in the ship or something, when your ship gets hit, you lose one of your three things so that you can swap between, basically. And usually it's like a forward shooting thing. It's the second gun that I talked about, like the piss stream thing. And then the third thing is like your missile, which you can either shoot in front of you on the vertical stages or on the horizontal stages. You're dropping them down below, like in the hunt.
Okay.
That kind of thing. So there's these little enemies underwater that come along, and they're these little blob guys, and they go around. And what happens is there's a bunch of like shit in front of you that you have to shoot out of the way, kind of like in Life Force where you got to shoot stuff to get through it. But these little blob guys move around the screen, and they'll start sort of like chasing after you. And if you don't shoot the gunk out of the way quick enough, the blob guys will like get on top of you and like kind of like fuck up your controls a little bit.
I see.
So it's very, that area is very particular on how you get through it. And you want to, so another, I got to back up and say something. So like, let's say the witch hat, when I beat the witch hat, it unlock, every time you beat a boss or beat a stage, you get another addition to your weapons. So on the first stage, you only have three weapons, but then once you beat the first boss, which is the spider guy, then you get another thing. And then you beat the second stage and you beat Ed 209, and then you get another thing. So by the time you're on this stage, you've unlocked like a laser type of weapon where there's just lasers like going everywhere. And you want to know to use that on this stage because it's just what you need to get through it, because it's sort of like a almost like a spread gun to be able to get through the area. If you're using your gun that goes straight forward, you're not going to be able to make it through these tunnels because you need something that shoots down and up and in all different directions and whatnot.
Right.
So the boss of this stage. So a bunch of rocks come down from the sky, and you got to like dodge out of the way of it. And then underneath, he pops out, and he's this big rock-looking alien guy. But the standout feature is that it literally looks like he's got like a puckering asshole on the back.
Oh my God.
That's like going in and out.
Yeah.
And
what did your chat think of
the puckering asshole? We talked a lot about it.
I figured you did.
They love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need those little things to keep people engaged.
I mean, honestly, because like what happens is it'd be like, you have a class and you're teaching a class, and it's like you have your teacher that's just going like, and then you have the alien and you're like in the back of the class, or you can have the teacher.
And then Mike's sitting there, puckering asshole.
I'm like, there's the alien boss that has the puckering asshole. And they're like, huh?
Everybody wakes up.
Huh? Puckering asshole. I'm back in. You know,
that's how you get them.
That's how you get them in. So, the puckering asshole doesn't really do anything though. It's just the back part of it.
Oh,
really? The front part of the thing has two sort of things on the front of it that you got to shoot from the bottom of it. These aliens are coming out, and then it starts shooting all these like laser beams and shit. It's like crazy,
right?
Also, it's shooting this beam that comes off every, I don't know, 5 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever. This like purple beam shoots out, and if you get trapped in that purple beam, it switches your weapon.
Whoa,
which sucks.
Well, at least it doesn't kill you.
It doesn't kill you, but it switches your weapons, which will kill you because you're like trying to get. It's like getting in a web. It's like you're stuck. So what you do is, you know that this thing's like charging up, so you start like moving so that you know that it's gonna shoot and it's gonna just miss you, and then you drop down, you get in front of it, and then you shoot off the front of it, and then it dies.
I'm having flashbacks to Yar's Revenge,
because
you know the missiles come, like it's gonna shoot the
a little bit
missile. You
it's
gotta
a little
like
dodge
that.
It,
like
sure,
that kind of thing.
Sure, maybe a
you
little.
You know,
bit.
Just bring it back.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Bring
to
it
Yar's
back.
Revenge.
Yar's Revenge.
The fifth stage you
the
beat
fifth
that,
stage.
You beat that, and you get a weapon that's like a shield that circles you. You go through the level, and this level's crazy because there's like volcanoes on the ground. This is another vertical stage. So these volcanoes are throwing up, I guess, lava, like up into the air.
Speaking of throwing up lava, yeah. And I've been thinking about this the whole time we've been sitting here. If you want insight into where my mind is, you sat down and you said, "Hey, Ryan, remember Life Force?" And I said, "Salamander." And you know what I've been thinking of this whole time?
The flames, I call it.
The fucking flames.
That's Konami, yeah.
Right? Because those flames are like the coolest thing you've ever seen.
Well, this stage specifically has a little area with flames like that.
Right?
It's very...
Like, if you haven't experienced the Life Force flames or the Axelay flames...
It's originally Gradius flames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need the flames because it's crazy.
Yeah. So... This is a stage, once again, you need to know what weapon to use. Once I discovered, oh, you need to use the shield thing on this stage, it became a lot easier because basically they're throwing 10,000 different enemies at you, all different types and fire and all this stuff, and it gets overwhelming. So, but if you have this shield, you just keep using the shield and it protects you from practically like everything. The end of the stage is a big devil guy that you fight. He's the guy that's on the front of the box.
Yeah.
And he has a weak point, which is his heart. You shoot the heart and he dies. His arms kind of like grab at you. He's actually very easy. Then you get to the final stage. Final stage is stage 6. This is where the game goes from hard to like, okay, fuck. We're like very hard.
Yeah, right.
So this is a very long stage. It's almost as long as like stages like 2 and 3 like put together.
Don't you hate that? Like I think in general, games should have a consistent difficulty. You know what I mean?
Well,
like consistent, like it can go up
because
you're like getting better. It's getting harder. You're getting closer to the end. But like when a game, you know, you're playing, you get level 5, you get to level 6, you're to the last level, and all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, you think you're good? Well, here's the last level is really the game. Because
there's a lot of games that are
everything else was just
everything else was training.
Was training. But now play the game.
I have found that in a lot of games is that a lot of everything you do and you're just learning the game so that when you get to that final stage, exactly, like this is the actual game. Now you learned all your skills, apply them.
Yeah.
But I kinda like that.
Right.
It's like it's teaching you all this shit and then it's like, okay, now you got to do everything.
There's ways to do it good and there's ways to not.
To make it annoying.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I think some Mega Man games are the best example. There's Mega Man games that do it really right. And then there's Mega Man games where you're like, "Come on."
Well, a lot of Mega Man games are really imbalanced because there'll be one or two weapons that you're going to use the whole time and then you're not using, you know.
Right.
It's like Top Spin, you only use it like once really with You're the like, last woo, thing, but it's kind of shitty.
Right, so is that how this game is?
No.
It's
a pretty much a steady progression, except I'd say the final stage is like, it's quite a bit harder than the other stages, but I wouldn't say to the point where I'm like, it's stupid.
Right.
It's okay. It's pretty okay. So basically this stage is a horizontal stage. The whole stage is horizontal. You're going through space. It's classic shmup stuff. There's a bunch of giant ships, like, you know, Star Destroyer type of things that you're trying to get by, and they're just throwing everything they got at you. Lasers and little ships and all this stuff at you and bullets and everything. You're avoiding all that. Once again, I found that using that shield thing is really good because it protects you from all the stuff that they're throwing at you. Either that or the laser beams because they can shoot a lot of stuff at once. You get through that first area and then you get to, there's a little section where they throw out these little groups of ships and you're above it and then I'm dropping down my missiles on top of it. It reminds me of the bonus game in Jaws on NES where you're the plane going back and forth and you're dropping the bombs down on the jellyfish. It's kind of like that.
Sweet.
Then, see, it's not all Zelda references, guys. Sometimes I reference other games like Jaws on NES.
It's good.
So you keep going. Then there's this whole big area that you have to get through where you kind of got to get to the right side of the screen because if you don't, like there's going to be like lots of bullets and things that are going to kill you. So you have to use your missiles that fall down like as soon as possible. So it's kind of like hug the right side of the screen, like, and stay in like the top right, and then just keep dropping your bombs down to kill the enemies as quick as possible. But at the same time, you're like moving up and down because there's all like obstacles to avoid and shit. It's pretty wild.
It's crazy. So you want to be on the right side of the screen? Because like usually in a shooter, like the right side of the screen is
on like this particular part.
Yeah.
Because it's like you have to kill the shit really quick or you're going to fucking die.
So you need like the time to like. Yeah.
It's like immediate. It's because you're on the last day. It's like really tough stuff at this point.
Yeah.
So then you get to a mini boss. And the mini boss is, it's like a spaceship. And the thing about this thing is it's got two like white ships behind it. And you have to they're like shooting laser beams out. So you have to take out these two ships behind like first before you work on the main ship. So you have to get over to those ships and like kind of get through their lasers. But on top of it, on the top and bottom of the screen are these like things that open up and these like almost like spike things drop out. So you got to kind of like fake out these spike things. You go like that, the spikes drop, and then you get through.
Wow.
And
I
then,
like that.
And then there's like these two little like white ships that are on the backside of the main spaceship. And again, you drop your missiles down on them. You kill them. And then what happens is the main ship then starts shooting out tentacles. And then you got to wait until the tentacles suck back into the main ship and then get back to the front to shoot the thing. You kill that, and then you're coming up to the final boss. So then they throw a lot of crazy shit at you, like lots of like little enemies that you have to avoid and stuff. It's like really like bullet helly kind of stuff from here on out. But if you make it to the final boss, essentially what happens is he like makes things appear like hologram type right. of things. And there's rocks that spin, but then they disappear and then they come back. So you kind of got to follow the path of these rocks. But if you see them start to appear, you got to like get out of the way because they can appear on top of you.
Right.
As you're doing that, there's the main ship that's in front of you and you're like taking out the guns on it.
Yeah.
You take out the guns, the rocks go away, kind of like explodes and stuff, and then like the middle part comes out.
Oh, that's cool.
And then this is basically the final thing, and then it just starts spitting everything it's got at you. It becomes like bullet hell at this point. And all these like crazy attacks like start coming out of the middle of it, like these spiral things and just like bullets everywhere and shit, and you're just trying to like avoid it, and you're trying to shoot the center thing. And inevitably, you're going to, you know, get hit during this unless you're like a, you know, some crazy pro or whatever. You get hit, though, and you still got your couple other weapons to rely on. I would get to this point and I would die and I would die and I would die. So what I eventually had to do to, like, beat this final stage is I would die. There's, like, limited lives. And it's right. like when it's game over, like, you're done.
Back.
You get a couple continues, but still, it's like, a tough game.
Yeah.
So what I ended up having to do, I would restart the entire game from the beginning, and I'd have to get good at the earlier stages so that when I got to the final stage, I'd have enough lives saved up to get through the final.
Right, because if you get back with, like, two lives, like...
Yeah, it's not enough. Like, by the time I finally beat it, I think I got to the last stage with, like, five or six lives, and that's how I ended up beating it, because I had enough lives. So the last couple things that it does, so you blow up, you know, it's shooting all these bullets and shit at you. You blow up the middle thing, and then you think it's, oh, okay, it's got to be over now. It's like blowing up, but then like a green part of it comes out, and then it starts shooting out ships that look like your ship, but they're like ghost ships. They're like green ghost
weird.
Ships, and they're like, they're doing kind of what you do, but not exactly. So you move up and they move up, but then you move down and they don't, and then they pass you. So it's like all these like ghost ships. You keep shooting the middle thing. Eventually that blows up and you're like, finally, I beat the fucking game. Everything starts blowing up. It's like the end of Metroid when you gotta like escape, you know?
Yeah.
But then another fucking ship comes out and you're like, what?
Oh my gosh.
And this final ship, all it does, it just shoots out a billion bullets. Now it's just 100% bullet hell and you're just avoiding and shooting it, and eventually it dies, and that's the game. And you're supposed to, like a lot of these games, you're supposed to go through it twice. I didn't go through it twice.
Right.
But that's pretty much the game. It's crazy. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a game that people would mention to me a lot because I play a lot of shmups, and I always like try it out and be like, I don't know. But now that I play through the whole game, I think it's a really good game. I think as far as shmups go, it's one of the more interesting ones. By the way, the music is really good. Whenever I talk about music when I'm doing these things, I never know what to say other than like the music's
good. It's good.
But it's like I don't know what to say. It's like go listen to the music for yourself. I think it stands above the soundtracks to a lot of other games. It's a very good soundtrack.
Oh, that's cool.
But I don't know. It's definitely a good game. I think it's worth playing, and I think it's worth your time to play it through at least once.
You know, that's kind of how I feel about RoboCop 2. So RoboCop 2, I'm going to say it's not a good game, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
So this is a game that was made to be a movie tie-in that eats quarters.
Yeah.
And if you and your friend go to the bowling alley or go to the arcade or go to wherever, you know, this thing showed up and you sat down, or a convention, I guess now that's probably more plausible.
A convention, yeah.
You go to a convention and sitting there, like if you sit there and you
or
just
barcade,
play.
Maybe.
Or a barcade. You just sit there and you play through it one time with your friends and you're like, oh, I remember that from the movie, and oh, isn't that cool? And oh, the soundtrack, kind of Sega Genesis like, you know? And you play through it and you're like, oh, that's neat, or that mutant dude wasn't in the movie. You know, those kind of things. It's a good experience, but this isn't a game that you're going to come back to.
The RoboCop 2 game, it's cool, but I feel like I wish it had more, like, I almost wish, like, he could do, like, I know it's RoboCop, but, like, a jump kick, like, you kind of, like, miss that, but you wouldn't have that because it's RoboCop, but I kind of wish, like, he could do, like, a little bit more.
Right.
You know?
But the thing is, like, this isn't a game you're going to come back to time after time, but it's a cool game. I highly recommend that you watch the movie before you play it because you'll get a lot more out of it.
Speaking of the movie, one thing I don't know if we talked about was how fucking cool the stop motion is.
The stop motion is cool, and the freaking practical effects of the suit, the RoboCop suit, is like awesome. I have a really, really nice TV, and it looks amazing. Even today, even in like upscaled SD, it still looks great.
Yeah. I have a lot of respect for like the stop motion animation. And I love stop motion animation. So if you like stop motion animation and you haven't seen RoboCop 2, you should watch it.
Also, like you're not going to find a movie as fucked up as RoboCop 2 come out now. And like, you know, if you want to like see things happen that you're like, whoa, I can't believe they did that. See RoboCop 2.
You know what you guys should do? You guys should watch RoboCop 2.
Yeah, I would say out of the three things today, like Axelay's good, it's fine, you know, it's fine. RoboCop 2, maybe not as fine as Axelay, but like RoboCop 2, the movie.
I honestly agree. I would say you probably want to watch RoboCop 2 over playing Axelay. Axelay's good, but
it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's like a good game.
Totally. But yeah, I was like playing the game and I played through it and I beat it. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I went and I watched the movie and I'm like, wow, I'm glad I did RoboCop 2 this week.
Right.
Because I watched the movie.
Because the movie, yeah. You know? Sometimes the movie's better than the game.
Right, which is, yeah.
So guys, here's what I want to ask. So we do this show and we, you know, have to pay editors and stuff to do this show. And we don't get 800 billion views on this show, as you could say. So if you could do us the littlest favor, and if you have a cell phone, go over to Apple Music and like leave us a review for the show, just like a star rating.
Or
want to give us the best rating, not the worst rating.
or rate the show on Spotify, or just leave a like and a comment. These things really help us keep our editors in place.
Right. And also, you know, just the fact that you guys, you know, watch the videos at all, even if you're not a Patreon subscriber, or even if, you know, you're not, you know, buying the title cards for the show or any of that. Just the fact that you guys even just watch the show means a lot, and it's help. It, you know, gives us some views on these videos, and it makes it so that we can hopefully continue to do this show. So thank you very much for that. If you're not subscribed to the Patreon, the one thing that I can say about it is we do a lot of extra content on there. And at this point, you probably would like to check it out because we have all kinds of extra features on there and extra videos that we've done.
We do an extra video every week. So yeah. If you look on the YouTube channel right now and you see we did 33 videos or whatever, there's 33 more videos for you on the Patreon.
Yeah, you're missing a lot of content. So
yeah.
So check it out. Leave the reviews on Apple Music, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks for watching, guys.
Thank you. Bye.